Well, it's that time again. It is 5:30 exactly, and I am sitting here with District 2 Board of Supervisors Supervisor Tim Humphrey. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, Raleigh. How are you this evening?
I can't complain.
Good.
A lot going on.
It is. You know, right now I was at a meeting with staff over projects going on in District 2, and from the Tunnel Creek Bridge to a drainage at Stagecoach Drive to just lots and lots of projects. Johnson Drive here, they're doing getting it ready for chip seal. So there's just an awful lot of projects going on in District 2 right now. So it's really been busy trying to get things done before we start getting into monsoons and things. So a lot of projects were put back due to weather. And so now that we've got some sunshine and some pretty weather, we got a lot of things going on.
Oh, I'll bet. And you know, you mentioned monsoons. We've had a pretty wet winter.
You know, it hasn't been too bad. I don't know what the average is, but looking at all the flowers and all the growth, it seems to be happy that we've had moisture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's never a bad thing for our area, but it'll be interesting to see what the spring and summer bring.
Right, yeah. I live at Roosevelt, and driving back and forth to there, you can start seeing the poppies starting to come up on all those hills there.
They're beautiful.
And we're supposed to get some more moisture like around Thursday, which will do nothing but make it that much nicer.
Yeah.
And before we get started, do you want to give them the call-in information?
Oh, do I ever. Now, come on. All these people show up in person at Roosevelt, at Tonto, and you don't even call?
Yeah, I had like 40 people at my Roosevelt meeting
40.
Today at 1.
That's all of them, all right? So, write this down. You ready? 888-876-5593. Please make a note of it. That's 888-876-5593. 5593 with an operator standing by. Okay, John's sitting, but he'd love to hear from you.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, good enough. Well, my recent activities is I was on Kiko Open Line on the 4th at 9:30.
And nobody heard you, so what'd you say?
Well, we won't get into that. It was just...
not pretty.
It was kind of real things about Tri-City and why they need the third plant and why I support them and those kind of things. And
okay.
If you want to overhash that, we sure can. But I don't think it's necessary. But anyway... So anyway, I was on that, and then I attended Discover Gila County presentation at Bullion Plaza.
Yeah.
And then I attended a District 2 project review meeting. Like I said, we have quite a few projects going on and getting ready to. I'll get into some of those here in a little bit. I attended a Tri-City Sanitation District meeting, held a Tonneau Basin community meeting on the 6th. Held a Gaisela community meeting on Saturday, this last Saturday. Held a Roosevelt community meeting today at 1, and that's where that was about 40 people there. And after this is over, if everything goes well, I will attend the Miami Town Council meeting this evening at 6:30. So, yeah, it's been a busy last couple of days.
Yeah.
But... going on to projects, Golden Hill project where we did the sidewalk. We're gonna continue that sidewalk out to the 60. There's a intergovernmental agreement with ADOT, and it's received review by the county attorney. Some changes need to be made to the IGA. We are hoping to have those completed and the items on the Board of Supervisors agenda by March 19th. So that'll be good, so we can get started on that project to continue the sidewalk that was earlier done.
Now, is the sidewalk at the other end going to go to Main Street, or where is it stopped? That's going to
No, yeah, Main Street is already done. They just did like a concrete.
Yeah, I was going to ask
about
that.
They didn't do the concrete and curb. They just did the asphalt, which just kind of
okay.
It's not really a walkway, but the reason that project got put off to start with is there are so many problems with utilities in that area that's, you know, the first it was awarded and we were going to do a sidewalk with curb and gutter like we did down Golden Hill
there
on Main Street. But there were so many conflicts with utility that it ended up in a lawsuit and things of that nature, and it was awarded to a contractor. So anyway, after all that mess got sorted out, then most of the funding went to the lawsuit. So that's why they just widened it and put the asphalt walkway, you know, right on the side. And so that's all that's going to be on Main.
But no, that's fine. But from Golden Hill to Main, it like stops well before the church. Is that sidewalk going to come down by the church?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think all it's right. just going to continue from where it left off back out to
in
60.
The other direction. Okay.
In the other direction.
Now, I did see at the cemetery, they seem to have, they had posts for years, but now there's like a fence too.
Right. And they've been doing that. A great thing. Way back, that cemetery looked like heck. And so anyway, I got to working with it, and I got, to start off with, I got a truck and a trailer for probation so that they could, you know, start cleaning on it. And then we got Marianne Moreno and Joe, his name's off the top of my head right now, was a supervisor a long time ago. And so anyway, got together with them, and they had a cemetery deal where they had some funding. And so we all got together and put our heads together. And so now there's a committee that looks over that cemetery. And as you can see, it is gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
You know, I can remember when I was embarrassed for the people that were buried there and their families. But it's such a nice deal to drive by there and see the way it is now.
It is.
And so I appreciate Joe Sanchez and Marianne Moreno very much for working on that to get that done. And like I say, they have some funding, and now we've formed a committee to where they keep that place and are working to build the committee and fundraisers and things so we can keep working with that cemetery. And over on the other side where the drainage is, we surveyed that, and so trying to move forward. So yeah, that's a great story from where it was to where it is now. And so anyway, they said they're going to get some bids to do some more wall and wrought iron.
Good.
Which would just really be pretty over there.
Great.
Yeah. And Russell Gulch, Gila County engineer is ready to send out letters requesting easements. BHP has already given us the county an easement for 5 properties that they own. Plans for the project are 90% complete. And the item will be brought before the Board of Supervisors once the plans are stamped by an engineer. And what that is that's not the road up Russell. What that is about from where the hospital is. They're going to line that drainage on Russell all the way to where it hits like the gas company down through there, and then in onto the roadway. And they're going to put a liner in there, and so by putting that liner in, it's supposed to carry like 3 times the amount of water that it was able to carry before. So from what the engineers say is, had that been done, they wouldn't have had the overflow that they did have earlier. And so, like I say, that's about from the hospital down. And so anyway, we're working on that, and then we'll be out for bids. Once we get the easements, we're putting out for bids now. So when we do get the easements, it'll avoid delays on the project. And then further up to get the road back open, we've applied for what they call a SMART grant. It used to be the build grant, but they keep changing. It was the Tiger grant, then the build grant. So anyway, infrastructure grant for the project design. Once we have design, we can apply for other grants for the project. Staff have found a new grant from the federal government that might be helpful. The county will do a request for proposal and then review the best, least expensive, and functional design to get the road open. like I say, our interest right now, or my main interest, and I've shared it with staff, is to get that road open. It doesn't need to be a four-lane highway. It doesn't need to get paved. Right. It just needs to get back open for access, for emergency services, for everything, for people like in Six Shooter Canyon and Ice House and those areas. If something was to happen, they can, you know, they can get out. So
yeah.
Anyway, we're working on trying to get that. And the good news is that hopefully that the federal government will have their budget, hopefully by about March 27th, from mm-hmm. what I understand. So a lot of these grants and things have been on hold because they're still kind of working off of what was approved for last year's budget. So hopefully here by the end of this month that those coffers will start opening up from the federal government, and we can work with some of these grants, because we've put in for a lot of grants, and thank goodness we've got a lot of grants. So, you know, if you see a lot of things going on in the city of Globe and Gila County and stuff, those are grant monies that we reach out to the federal government for, because we don't have the tax revenue to just mm-hmm. go spend money. So hopefully they'll get their budget taken care of, so some of these grants will start coming out, and different applications for new grants.
Good.
Will come out, hopefully. The landfill, they're working on going to try to increase the fees. A rate increase at Gila County landfills will be coming before the Board of Supervisors for increase tipping fees. The landfill is requesting an increase to $12 a ton for commercial and $10 a ton for green waste.
So you say commercial now, for the guy who's just got his home refuse and all, he's gone up there at $7.50. Would that go up to 10, or would that stay the
same?
Well,
from where I'm at, I'm not seeing that go up, because the information that I got, the only thing they're raising it on is commercial and green waste.
Yeah, because I think it's really important that it is very affordable for residents, because you see, like on Hershey Highway and places like that, people have dumped everything.
Right.
I agree. I saw like an 80-inch television, you know, broken, obviously, but regardless, you know, I think it's counterproductive if those fees go up, because already it's hard to get somebody to pay $7.50, which it shouldn't be.
Right, which is why I fought hard to get a dollar dump day once.
Yes.
Saturday of every month.
No, you did.
And then people were abusing that. So then I went back with staff and they said, okay, up to 1,000 pounds, which I find reasonable. If you're kind of spring cleaning and fill a couple pickup trucks, you know, I mean, 1,000 pounds is quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah. If you have more than 1,000 pounds, most likely you are commercial in some way.
Yeah. Or if you got a truck and a trailer and it's over 1,000 pounds, then they just charge you the regular rate for tonnage over 1,000 pounds.
Right. But the average person who's going up there, again, a resident, wouldn't have 1,000 pounds.
Not unless they had a bunch of freezers and stuff on
their
truck.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Why did they wait to dump them all at once?
Right. Yeah, so anyway, that's, excuse me, that's going forward. It hasn't been before the board yet, so there's no idea how that will turn out. But if you do have comments on that, by all means, call me and let me know your input of how you feel about that before it comes to the board. And they say, well, why did you do that? Well, because nobody discussed their opinion.
928?
928-402-4417 is my number. 928-402-4418 is Terry Link's, my assistant's number.
Okay.
My cell phone, I don't have my cell phone right now because it kind of lost function, so it's at IT. I'm supposed to get it back tomorrow, but that number is 928-961-2885.
All right, so now you can't say you didn't know. But yeah, I'm sure there's nothing more frustrating for the Board of Supervisors than after the fact for a bunch of people to come up here and you didn't say this. Well, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, that's like, I've been getting tons of emails from on the short-term rentals.
Yes.
You know, the Airbnbs.
Yes, which I'm all for what you're doing.
But all of the emails I get are from the owners of Airbnbs, uh-huh. not the people that live next to one.
Right.
So if you're out there, let me know how you feel living next to one, if you do, because I keep hearing how unfair it is. And most of the people that own Airbnbs in Gila County aren't residents
Correct.
Of Gila County.
Correct.
And you know, I was surprised, but most of them came from Pine and Strawberry, from people that didn't live in Pine and Strawberry. And I don't even know if there's any residents full-time in Pine and Strawberry
Well,
anymore.
Not many.
Yeah, I was told there's like 1,200 Airbnbs in Pine yeah. and Strawberry.
Right.
Which, you know, and so Pine and Strawberry is turning into a little business of its own, now that it's in my district. But
well, right.
still, if we vote on something for Airbnbs, it's countywide. So I would like to hear from residents that are here
right.
year-round, or at least 6 months out of the year, how they feel about Airbnbs.
Yeah, this is important because, of course, you're hearing from the Airbnb owners because they have a big dog in the race that they're going to have to do something or pay something or whatever. And the guy who's a resident sitting at home, well, it's not going to affect him, except it will affect them if nothing happens. It's very important that people weigh in on things like this because you know darn well, after the fact, that's when you'll get the onslaught.
Right, right. Yeah. It's just... And so, yeah, we're at the point that we're having to have an ordinance.
Yeah.
Did we want it? No, but there has been so much difficulty with it that we have to pass an ordinance. That's like feeding the elk. We had to pass an ordinance because they've become dangerous.
Right.
And so people created that. So I'm for less government, not more government. But when you're turning mild-mannered creatures into predators, then we have to do something.
Right, right. They are very big.
Indeed. And like I say, if you're turning parts of Gila County into a business district,
right.
Well, we have to regulate that, and there are people that still live in those residences, unless they get so irritated they move out, and then that gives another Airbnb company a place to buy.
And actually, in every municipality I know, there are already regulations in place. So it's not like this is out of the blue and nobody else does that. Virtually everywhere there mm-hmm. are registrations and there's rules and there's regs and there's fees, and that's the way it works.
Yes, and you know, there's things like, well, why doesn't a motel have to or thing? Well, there's commercial and residential, and most of these are in a residential district,
Bingo.
Not in a commercial district.
Bingo.
And, you know, I mean, as we move around Gila County, we have different ordinances depending on how you're zoned. And so, okay, if we need to get in with the short-term rentals, and your rules and regulations depend on how you're zoned.
Right.
You know, if you're zoned residential, if you're on, you know, R1 or GU or commercial or however you're zoned, then that could maybe be a way to have different regulations for different areas, depending on, you know, how strict those rules are. But I don't know. I am looking for input, because at some point we're going to have a meeting here before too long, a work session. On some of this, to see what changes we need to make to ordinances or not make changes to ordinances. So I'd be willing to listen to as much input as someone would care to share with me on that subject.
This is really important because you mentioned zoning and things like this. This gets into the heart, and that's also kind of what I wanted to talk about, not zoning, but you know, the deal is the regulations need to be set forth in a way that's universal in terms of not picking on one person or another, and set forth so that they can be met fairly easily. Like you say, it'd be great if you say, well, if you're R1, then these are your regulations. If you're, CR whatever, these are your
right.
regulations.
Right.
So I absolutely agree with the people who are up in arms saying, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to this. I don't get it. You know, yada, yada. So I think a work session that would codify something where, hey, this is black and white. This is the deal.
Right.
That goes far to solve some problems right there.
Yeah. And like I say, we've kind of already approved ordinances. But there's been an awful lot of fight back with
Sure.
our ordinances, and like I say, most of the fight back that I have received has been from the short-term rental owners.
Of course.
Not their neighbors.
Right, of course. There again, because they have the big dog in the act, but their neighbors are the ones who will be complaining to you after the fact.
Sure.
So yeah, word to the wise. I told Tim I wanted to talk about something, because we had talked in the past about zoning, about permitting, about the processes, and how it has really caused a great deal of animosity. And so...
It has.
And I got into this fray 4 years ago. I had to permit a box on one of my properties, and it took a year for a lot of reasons. And I'll lay some of the blame at me, because the original contractor didn't tell me about certain permits. So, but anyway, it was a full year. So now I decided a while ago, I'm going to replace this mobile home that isn't being used with another box identical to the box I have there. Same property, same box. Should be a piece of cake, right? So I go ahead and I get the PDI, the preliminary, and I fill it all out, and then I get a checklist, and I go through that, and I fill that all out. Now, I'm waiting, because I had a contractor who was not forthcoming on an electrical one line. Not unusual. But while I was waiting last February, I decided, well, I've got the whole package together except that. Let me submit that so I'll know if I have other hurdles and all that. And they came back to me, and the only thing they said is, well, you know, you have to get it stamped by the fire department. Okay, I'll do that. And I considered that fair, because it was on their list, even though I didn't have to do it before. Right. It's on their list. Okay, fine. So that was it. So about a week or so ago, I have the whole thing together, and I figure, well, it's all now together. It follows everything on this list. I will just put it, and I'll have a permit in a few days. So I get, now I include everything on their list, but for overkill, I also include an engineering study stamped, because last time around, I was held up for a month over wind requirements. So I thought, well, it isn't anywhere on the list, but it's stamped. Let me include the wind requirements. So I put that in there. And I hear back, and the first thing I hear in the letter is it will be 15 to 20 working days. And I thought, that's about a month. All right. And they said, but your engineering letter doesn't include, penetrations and intrusions. Now, by the way, there was absolutely nothing on the checklist about an engineering letter to begin with. Nothing. And penetrations and okay. So I write back pretty much to say, all right, now can you explain? So in their answer, this is what absolutely floored me. To this day, I am incredulous. I get this response, we are all in agreeance that the letter needs to also read that penetrations and intrusions are acceptable and how the holes will be sealed. Holes? What holes? Now, you know, holes. And I looked at this, and basically my blood ran cold, because I thought, you know, if I didn't write to pretty much bitch about, what do you mean penetrations and intrusions, I wouldn't have heard about holes. Right. So I would get this.
Or if you wouldn't have turned in the wind.
Right. I thought about
the
that,
wind
Tim.
Issue.
Maybe
start
if I
with.
Never turned it in, I never would have heard about an engineering letter. So, at this point, and by the way, the engineer who is licensed with the state and everything like this basically said the same thing. Holes? They want me to weigh in on holes? Yeah. But the bottom line is that the clock is ticking. This is taking forever. And, you know, it's now. I started this process in late December. And I hope to God, when I get the engineering stamped letter, which will not be tomorrow, because engineers don't work overnight, so that's a delay right there, that it will, you know, not start ticking after that fact. But as I was going through this, I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way, because I talked to other people, and what was interesting is a lot of people in Gila County who are law-abiding people said, what'd you apply for a permit for? That's a waste of time here. You know, it was almost universal. I said, well, it's the regulations. And they looked at me like I was nuts. Now, I want to interject here that this is not only not personal, but the people in the department are truly terrific. Kim jumped into it and found out about zoning and all sorts of things, went out of her way. Randy drove all the way from Payson. That was great. Charlie, who I hear from, is just as cordial as a person could be. So it's not personal. It's not attitudinal at all. So I'm thinking, all right, they are making my life absolutely miserable, and they are not meaning to. And I believe that. And so in thinking about it, I thought, huh. And as I was talking to other people who were chiding me for filing a permit, all of them had some horror story like this about after they applied, they had to do this, then they had to do that, then they had to do this.
Right.
Here's the deal, and this is the solution. and this is probably applicable to a lot of scenarios, and that's when you file the PDI, the preliminary notice, basically, what you get back is a checklist, usually. This is what you need to do. Well, it shouldn't be that. What should happen at that point is somebody should be assigned to determine everything that's needed for that permit. Not a case of, like Randy had written to me and said, well, you know, it's a fluid situation with boxes and all. Yeah, but nothing changed in the last 30 minutes. Bottom line is that whatever you get where it says these are the requirements, that should be sacrosanct. It should be that if you follow all these steps, you get a permit. Not later, well, we forgot about this. Well, you know, in this case, we have to do this. Well, and this is a special case. We must do this. There are no special cases if you're filling out a PDI. Somebody should be tasked with looking at it then, not rubber stamping it, but looking at it and saying, now, what are we going to need? Are we going to need a sealed study? And yeah, I feel like an idiot that I ever supplied one because it was nowhere on the list. But that step is missing. And they get away, and I don't mean it personally, but the department is able to require things later and later and later. And that's dead wrong.
Well, yeah, I've heard a lot lately about being more user-friendly, especially people that are trying to abide by the rules.
Yeah, and they're not.
And so, no, I appreciate your input and I appreciate your comments. I just hope that some of the Gila County staff is listening to your recommendation. And if not, then I will be happy to share your recommendation with planning and zoning to see if someone can't be better prepared on some of these permits coming in and know what's necessary to start. And, you know, a lot of times I was thinking that, you know, people need to contact planning and zoning prior would save a lot of things.
You do. That's what the PDI is. But, you are doing that.
Right.
And what I'm saying is it's not going to happen because people are going to change their attitude, because their attitudes are great. There needs to be a step, something that must be followed, where basically you outline what you want from me. And at that point, that's almost a contract. You can't ask for any more. That's the key. That's the step that's missing.
Unless you change something, I agree.
Right, right. And that's what's not happening. And so, like I say, that second letter and how the holes will be sealed, if I hadn't, you know, basically said what's going on here, I never would have heard about that. Then what? There's going to be another study and another delay? What else is coming?
Right.
Just wrong. And again, I don't fault the individuals. I fault the system for not, you know, these people can go ahead and say anything after the PDI, but they don't have to live with it. They can go ahead and say, and now you need this, and now you need that. And so something where they were responsible for their list. This is what you need. And if not, it's on them.
Good.
Yeah, so it's just a thought. And again, it is not personal. These are very nice people. And I just think this is a system failure. But it was funny, in one of Charlie's notes, she said, well, you'll be better prepared for next time. And I sort of laughed and I thought to myself, you know, just like everybody else, I will do everything in my power that there will never be a next time. There is nothing I will willingly do in Gila County ever again, because this is twice. This is twice. So, yeah, I can't say never, never, because you never know what the future's going to bring. But what I'm saying is, when we talked before about zoning and all that, this is what causes people to say no to Gila County. And I will go out of my way to never have to need a permit again after this.
Well, Raleigh, so, I hope you don't need to build a new house or something.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. See, that's the thing, Tim. I wouldn't build it here. And that's what I'm saying. And I think that there's a lot of people, we talked before about bringing people to Gila County and the impediments, you know, what causes people to choose elsewhere. Well, this would absolutely say, I'll never build a house here. There's not even a question.
Well, I see what you're saying. And you know, I can take it to the board. I can take it to the county manager. Supervisors don't actually run departments. They said, do you work for the departments, or the departments work for you?
Right.
Well, the departments work for the county manager, and the supervisors can't make any choices unless it's brought to all three supervisors.
Right.
You know, I don't have the ability to go to planning and zoning tomorrow and start rolling heads. I can go there and comment.
Sure.
But I as a supervisor, can't change anything. I can go to county manager, assistant county manager, and ask them to bring it to a work session in front of the other supervisors,
sure.
Which may be a good suggestion because if you feel the way you feel, and I know that I've had some issues, especially with the tunnel bridge going in, you can imagine the growth that's going to start out there.
Sure.
And I've heard of about not being very planning and zoning not being user friendly, and I've met with many people one on one to get their complaints, to write them down, to try to find answers. And so, you know, maybe it's time that we do try to get it into a work session to see what we need to do with planning and zoning to be more user friendly. And like you say, not, you know, after you do the preliminary and then things keep changing and make it difficult. And I know in some cases that the reason the county changed is because the people doing the work changed and they got a permit for something and they were doing that plus, well, you know, that.
Well, that's a different deal.
That took all rules off.
Right, of course it does.
And so, but yeah, I appreciate your input. I really do, because like I say, I work for the people and I try to do all I can. And so, as issues come up, that's why I have a public meeting at Roosevelt, you know, Gaisela, Tonneau Basin. If there's issues, I can't work on trying to make things different unless I know.
Right. We've talked a lot about that. That's absolutely true.
So,
and again, you know, I would hesitate to even use user-friendly because, I think these people to a person are great. Their personalities are fine. Their attitude is fine. There's absolutely no
policies
complaint.
Maybe.
It is the system. And there is nothing where a step in this says after PDI, somebody must sit down and review every step. You know, in other words, they just send you a pre-printed checklist that's, you know, maybe 5 years old or whatever. And then, oh, by the way. And that's a step. It's not a change in attitude or user-friendly. It's literally a change in the process where they are expected at the time a PDI is approved to give the entire list. And then assuming their project doesn't change, then that's it. Yeah. Anything else should be on them.
Sure.
Now, hopefully next month when we meet, I will tell you I've got a permit because I will be frosted if they think they're going to count the 15 days to when they get an engineering letter, which is insane. That is nowhere on their list. So that's where I am on this.
Okay. I'm glad that you're recording it because I'm going to recommend that you give me a recording of it.
Oh, well, you know, the link is always on KQSS.net, every meeting you've ever had. And right on the homepage is a link to the Tim Humphrey meetings. So KQSS.net. It'll take me a couple days to digitize it and get it up there usually, but it stays forever. All your meetings are there.
Okay, well, that's good because I would like to share your input with staff.
No, yeah, and again, they are true. I can't say it enough. They're conscientious. They're good people. Not, I have no complaint with any of them. But they don't have a system where they are beholden to getting me the information initially, and then with each step, like I say, now I'm delayed again. I should have a damn permit, but I don't know how long it's going to take for an engineer to write a letter. And like I say, he wrote today. Holes, are you kidding me with this? No, I'm not kidding you with this. You know, is anything else? Is it beats me? Hopefully I'll have my permit. And hopefully there'll be something in place where this can't happen to the next guy. Because clearly that's why people are saying to me, why the hell would you apply for a permit? You know, and of course I'd apply for a permit because them there are the rules.
Right, you don't want to build without one because then that creates even worse problems.
Well, of course, but the amount of people who are, and we've talked about that with regard to the blight, you know, people are just saying, I'm not going through that.
Right.
So maybe that step would change it. Like I also had said to you off the air earlier, it was so ironic in that I got an email from a girlfriend who was scheduled for surgery this morning, and she was really, really pissed because she said, they've delayed it because now they want me to have a heart test. They scheduled my surgery 3 months ago. Now, 20 minutes before surgery, they decide I need a heart test. I
said, yeah, why didn't they do it three months ago?
Right, exactly. I said,
well, because they go by Gila County Planning and Zoning.
I wrote her back and I said, welcome to Gila County. She's in Miami, Florida. So,
okay, well, no, that's good to know, and it's not the first time I've heard it.
Yeah,
it's just that I've heard it enough. It's kind of like the Airbnbs. We've had enough stuff stir that maybe we need to get it in front of all the supervisors to take a closer look at it. Because, like I say, I'm one leg of a tripod.
Right,
I can't hire or fire anybody but my assistant, and I can go to staff members, I can go to department heads, and I can talk to them, but I have no jurisdiction to make any changes in their life.
Oh, absolutely. And something like this would actually be easier on the people in the department, because I know someone like Charlie, I don't know her personally, but I'm sure she is on the receiving end of all manner of curses when stuff like this happened. And
well, not all, because they're... I get a lot of them.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it's spread around.
Yeah, but right.
you know what I'm saying. In other words,
I do.
There should be a way to avoid that. You know.
Sure. I have to agree with you. I was a general contractor for 27 years.
Yeah.
So believe me, I understand how important permits are, and I understand how time is extremely important with that permit. Because as a contractor, you don't get paid till the job gets done.
Well, that's right.
And if the job does not get started, it doesn't get finished. And delays are expensive.
Well, and worse than that, as a contractor, that's not the only job you're doing. You're scheduling things.
Well,
you're doing a number of jobs.
You're trying to.
Right. Well, right. If all things are good.
You're trying to.
But to try and schedule when you know, the X factor is, will I have a permit to do it?
Right.
Becomes difficult for somebody who is in business of doing a lot of these.
Right. And, that was one of my pet peeves 8 years ago when I was elected the first time, is from being a contractor in Gila County, I hired an independent firm to go through our planning and zoning and see how they could make the process easier or more to be able to do things in a more efficient manner. And I hired a gentleman who went through that department, and permits went from 30 days to 3 months to like 10 days. And so, maybe it's time we look at something like that. Cause to me, on issues like that, there's no one answer. It's not like changing one thing. It's like, okay, if we have a problem with the process or things are bottlenecking, why is that happening? We need to look at the whole process. As you say, once you get the preliminary paperwork done, that's almost a contract.
Sure. Okay,
what opens that next can of worms? Is it something that needs to be done before that preliminary contract? You know what I mean? When you sit down, is that something that before they give you a preliminary, maybe there needs to be more going into that, so you get more or less a checklist before you start instead of after you start.
No, I agree with that, but I think the key should be that they don't issue the preliminary until they've issued the checklist at the same time. In other words, nobody at that point is thinking about all the processes. And I get that, but for the end user, it's unconscionable delays and expenses.
Right.
So,
well, good. I've had another beneficial meeting today. Everybody says, "Do you ever get tired of alligators?" It's like, no, that lets me know what I need to be working on as a supervisor.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I go to those public meetings, sure, sometimes I come out of there with alligators hanging on me. Okay, well, then I need to work with staff. We need to work with things to get some things done, because when you're up to your in alligators, it's hard to remember that your main objective was to drain the swamp.
Right.
And so, I don't look at these I don't look at some of these conversations like we had, as long as we can talk. Some people, it's not a conversation, it's a one-way yelling match, because I absorb as much as I can out of their venting, and then I go on because there's not a conversation.
Well, they've gotten to that point.
That little problem grew teeth.
Right.
And so I try to fight through to figure out what it is I'm supposed to be doing. But like a conversation like ours, you know, that's beneficial for me to know that Gila County has an issue, and we need to work on it. How we work on it is first you have to admit you have an issue before you can find a solution to it. Because if no one ever tells you got a problem, well, then you don't have any.
Exactly.
You know, and to me, it falling on the deaf ears and pretty soon it'll go away. That's not an answer to the problem.
Well, hopefully next month when we meet, I will tell you I've got a permit.
Well, I hope you do. and if you don't, then I hope you express that.
I will. Of course, next month Al Gamaris will be back. He was not here today because he is in Washington D.C. with most of the council, the city of Globe, and they are hopefully bringing back some goodies like money from Washington.
Well, I hope so. And like I say, nobody's getting any money until after they sign a budget.
Yeah.
But hopefully we will get their budget passed, and so can start dealing with some different funding and funding agents. Yeah. It will be nice to get that ball rolling again.
Oh yeah, talk about dysfunctional. Now you've got Washington. So.
Yeah. It's a good thing they don't offer building permits. We have enough time getting funding for infrastructure.
Right.
Yeah, if we had to get the permit with the funding, we might have a difficult time.
Well, it looks like everything else is on track. So we meet next month, and let me make sure on my calendar you know when that is, or I know when that is. You know when that is. But that is on the 8th of April. 8th of April at 5:30 for Supervisor Humphrey. But in the meantime, you can call him anytime. And what Tim was saying about the Airbnb situation, if you are a resident here, for God's sakes, weigh in, especially if this is something that, you know, you've been talking to your friends or your neighbors. I don't really, well, tell Tim, because, you know, he needs the input. If all the input is one-sided only from the people who have the Airbnbs, it's not going to go the way you want it to. So 928-402-4417 is Tim's number, and Terry, his assistant, would be 4418, and Tim's cell is 928-961-2885.
Yeah, and just real quick before we get off on some road projects, Johnson Lane, it's been needed to have something done for a long time, and now it's being milled, and a product laid, worked on the road, will be finished in the next few weeks. Upper half of Wallaman Road, Pinal Creek. Crews will start working on these roads when Johnson Road is complete. All of these roads will be ready for chip seal in May. So what they're doing is they're milling up the asphalt and they're relaying it with a product, and then they're sealing it, and then it'll come over and have a double chip seal on top of that. So they'll be good roads. And these are roads that are smaller roads, been forgotten for a long time because the less squeaky wheel doesn't get the grease. But anyway, these roads have been needed to be done for a long time. And so we're pulling those out of the crack and we're getting those roads done. And they'll be chip sealed in May after we get the other stuff laid down.
All right. Good deal.
Raleigh, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for coming. Always good to see you.
I appreciate it. You have a good evening. We'll see you in a month.
Sounds good. And so this will be replayed on Sunday morning on KJAA at 8 a.m. That's AM 1240 and FM 106.1. And long before that, it will be online. And all you need to do is go to kqss.net. On the homepage, there's a link to Tim's meeting, and this meeting will be among them. So thanks for listening.
And then you just punch in the date?
Oh, you won't even have to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, it's there. It's lined up. It'll also have a little synopsis about what you talked about. You just click on it.
Cool.
No, this is beyond user-friendly.
Good. Get all to right. Share it with staff. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thanks.
KQSS Miami.